We've begun our study of the book of 1 Peter and the book of 2 Peter. And this morning, I read from the book of 1 Peter, chapter 1, verse 1, these words, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ. And as we studied this morning, we noticed, first of all, that Peter was a man who had been called to serve Jesus Christ by Jesus Christ himself, that he and Andrew, his brother, were fishing, and that Jesus came by and called him and said, to come and follow me, and I'll make you to be fishers of men. We notice then that Peter was chosen to be one of the 12, one of the apostles. And the word apostle means an envoy, it means a messenger, it means an ambassador, and in another sense, it means to send away or to send off as someone to represent a person who was important. There were 12 apostles. One of them, according to the word of God, was a devil from the very beginning, but Peter was chosen and is mentioned as the first apostle. I mentioned that the apostles are said to be the first officers of the church. Jesus Christ, the Bible tells us, set some in the church first apostles. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 28. And then in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 19 through 20, the Bible tells us that Christ is the chief cornerstone of the church and that the foundation of the church was the apostles. Evidently, the first building blocks of this edifice, spiritual edifice, known as the church. We then noticed that Simon Peter was a man who had doubts. I had called your attention to this morning to the fact that we usually think of Thomas as the one who had doubts, and we always use that descriptive word concerning Thomas, and we refer to him as doubting Thomas, but I've never heard anyone speak of Peter as being doubting Simon or doubting Peter. But the Bible tells us that because of his doubt, that he doubted after he had gotten out of the ship and begun to walk on the water, that he doubted, and because of his doubt and of his little faith, that he began to sink. And as he began to sink in the waters, he cried out, Lord, save me, and the Lord saved him. Now, from the things that we've studied about this man who's the author of the letter that we're going to study, as we study his becoming an apostle and as we study his life, there are some things that we begin to notice about Peter that make us wonder what kind of person Jesus can use, and what was wrong with this man that he occasionally had these problems of doubt, and that he was said of Jesus to possess little faith and was rebuked because he had little faith. Well, as we continue our study tonight, I ask you to turn with me to the book of Matthew, the 16th chapter, and we'll find that he received a new name. Let's read together from the 16th chapter of Matthew, beginning at verse 13. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 13. Matthew 16 and 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, and some Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. And he said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. The Bible tells us that after Peter had come to Jesus walking on the water, and after he had cried, "Lord, save me," that later Jesus asked the disciples, "What's the gossip going around in the country about me? Who are people saying I am?" And they answered him and they said, "Well, some of them say that you're John the Baptist." John had been slain. And some of them said, "You're Elijah, because the Bible says in the book of Malachi, the very last book of the Old Testament, that Elijah must come first." And some are saying that you're Elijah. There are some of them who are saying you're Jeremiah. Jesus said, "Now, who do you think I am?" Remember, he's been with them for quite a long time. They've seen him heal sick people, and they have seen him, well, just lately in their lives, calm the waters of the sea. They've seen many miracles that he did. They've heard his teaching. They've seen his piety and his godliness. And they said, and this is one of the most extraordinary statements in the scriptures, they said to him, "Thou art the Christ." The word Christ means anointed one. "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." This is what Peter said. No doubt there, is there? Simon Peter has really been changed, hasn't he? No doubts expressed there, are there? "Thou art the Christ. Thou art the Son of the living God." And Jesus said, "Blessed art thou." Because this is not a revelation that comes from the inside of a man because of his intellectual ability. It's not something that you have thought about and finally arrived at a conclusion on your own. "Flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto you." This is something that only God could put in your heart, and only through the Holy Spirit could you confess that "I am the Christ." You have said rightly, Simon, "I am Jesus of Nazareth, the Christ, the anointed of God." Yes, that's who I am. And God has revealed it to you. "And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." And oh, how we see this verse of Scripture misused and misinterpreted. People say it means that Jesus founded the church on Simon Peter. But he didn't. Because if he had, the church would have failed when Simon said later, "I know not the man." Some say, no, it was not upon the man, Simon Peter, that the church was founded, but upon the confession of faith that he made that Jesus Christ was indeed the Christ, the anointed of God. I don't think that's the sense of this scripture. I believe that Jesus said, "Thou art Peter." And the word that's translated Peter is a word that means a small and insignificant pebble. "Thou art Peter, and upon this rock," speaking of himself, a great rock, Petra, a huge rock, something like the rock of Gibraltar, a boulder. "Thou art Peter, a small and insignificant pebble, but upon this rock, upon myself, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." That squares with the rest of the scriptures, the writings of Paul, when he said, "Other foundation can no man lay than is laid," and that is Jesus Christ. He is the rock. And Jesus said, "Upon myself, as the chief cornerstone and the foundation, I will continue to build up doesn't have in it the idea of beginning when he states, I will build my church, but it has in it progressing, doing and adding to something that has already begun. I will add stones to, I will dome up, I will continue to build my church, because the church had already been founded by Jesus Christ out of the material that John the Baptist had prepared. And Peter and the apostles, how could they have been the first officers in the church if there had been no church until this time or until Pentecost? And he has set some in the church, first apostles. There had to be a church, and the first officers set in the church were the apostles, and Jesus did it. And the church wasn't built on Simon Peter. And it wasn't built on his confession, because his confession failed. And he later said, I know not the man. But the church, as the Bible teaches, in every place was built on Jesus Christ himself. And he said, I give unto thee. And do you say it mean that he said to Peter, I give to you, Peter, the keys to the kingdom? You mean that Peter really has the keys to unlock the kingdom of heaven? You know, from this verse of scripture, have you ever heard stories about people dying, and when they got to heaven, there was Peter, Saint Peter, with the keys to heaven, and that he would unlock it and let you in heaven? You ever heard that myth, that Pharisee story, literally perversion of the word of God? That's what people have based this on. When you die, you'll go to heaven, or you go to hell, you get to heaven, and you go to St. Peter, and you tell him all the good things you did, and you sort of argue with him about it, and he unlocks the gate, and you go to heaven. And what a perversion of the word of God. It just isn't so. Jesus was talking to the church, and he said, I give to the church, to you, the organization that I have founded, the keys, and the keys are representative of authority. And he's saying, I give to you the authority to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news of the kingdom of God, to be found in repentance and faith in Jesus Christ as our sin bearer. That's what Jesus meant. I'm giving you the authority to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He did in the book of Matthew later emphasize that I am giving you this authority. All authority is given unto me in heaven and earth, or all power. Go ye therefore in all the world. He transferred it. He gave it to the church. That's the commission. Here's simply speaking of it. Whatever is bound by the preaching of the gospel on this earth is bound by the preaching of the gospel in heaven. God keeps his word. You can believe God's word. Well, it seems now that with a new name, a new recognition, with a new address from our Lord and Savior, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, if indeed he is using his name here, his personal name. But we do know that Jesus had said to him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, that is, Simon, son of Jonah. It seems now that at last this apostle's life has been freed from doubt, been freed from fear, and now he has a new beginning. All of the sins and all of the fears and all the problems that he's ever had now are finally laid to rest. Now, I rededicated my life, and now I've got the devil at bay. And I'm not going to have any more real serious problems in my life, because now I've said that Jesus is the Christ, that he's the Son of the living God. I've acknowledged him as Savior, and he's pronounced a blessing upon me. My, the world is bright and shiny again, and I can forget that incident of little doubt and little faith. That's all behind me. 6 days later, Would you believe it? 6 days later. Read with me Matthew chapter 17. Verse 1. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into an high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. 6 days later, on a mountain apart from all the world, Peter, James, and John, and Jesus. Three, and the Son of God, four, on a mountain apart. And he's transfigured. What all is involved in that, I'm not sure. But the Bible tells us that his face did shine as the sun, and as raiment was white as the light. It was a spiritual experience, an extravaganza. It was something to be remembered for eternity. And Simon Peter is there with James and John. And it's 6 days after he has been called blessed by Jesus. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elijah talking with Jesus. Can you imagine what that meant to a Jew? Can you imagine what that meant to this apostle, to this man called Peter? He had read of Moses. He had read of Elijah. Not like we would read of George Washington or some of the other great political or scientific figures of our history as a nation, but he had read of him with such reverence and awe as the giver of the law and of the prophecy, Moses and Elijah, from the dead and transfigured and glorified in the presence. And he's standing there with them. And he just couldn't keep his mouth shut. Just couldn't keep his mouth shut. He had to make some kind of proposal. You ever notice people like that? There are a lot of signs around in a lot of different places. One of the most impressive and one of the most sensible signs that I've ever seen in my life was a sign in a little factory where I worked that said, "If it works, don't mess with it." Have you ever made that one last turn to make sure that it didn't come loose? You know, take that one last stitch, that one last turn, that sort of an insurance type thing. And something break or tear up? Or have you said after you've made the compliment, and you're really doing good, you've really made the compliment, and you've really got it made, but you just couldn't shut up? Have you ever come home and you knew your wife had been to the beauty shop that she was supposed to go? And when you came home, you asked her, "You didn't go to the beauty shop?" Have you ever done that? That's not the smartest thing in the world that you can do. Or you don't sweat much for a fat lady. These are... you know, we need to learn when to shut up.
But Peter said, you know, Lord, it's good to be here. I don't know that Jesus said, Peter, would you like to say a few words? You know, you've got the gift. Would you like to say a few words? Peter says, well, yes, I really would care to speak just a few words. It's good to be here. Did you notice? I think speeches have been started that way for the last 2,000 years. You ever notice? It's good to be here. And I think Peter really meant it. It's good to be here. Let's make three houses. Let's build three tabernacles, one for thee and one for Moses and one for Elijah. And that was all Peter had to say until, even while he was speaking, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased, hear you him. He evidently had in some way intimated that there was an equality between Moses and Elijah and the Son of God, and immediately the entire thing came to an end. A cloud overshadowed the entire brilliant scene, and the Bible tells us that God spoke from heaven and said, this is my beloved Son, and I'm pleased in him. Hear you him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face, and they were sore afraid. And Jesus came and touched them and said, arise and be not afraid. And when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only. And I think this is the sum total of our relationship to other men and to Jesus. That Jesus should be the man whom we obey, that Jesus should be the man whom we honor, that Jesus should be the man whom we love, and that Jesus should be the man who speaks the final words in our authority. They saw no man save Jesus only. Well, it didn't last, did it? Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona. Flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. 6 days later, 6 days later, he's rebuked by Jesus again for his impetuous speech making. Well, we all make mistakes. And surely now the man has learned his lesson. He's growing up, isn't he? He's made mistakes. Jesus has forgiven him and complimented him. 6 days later, he's made another blunder spiritually. Surely now the man has learned his lesson, and surely now he'll be able to keep a steady course. But let's read in the book of John for just a minute. And we'll come back to the book of Matthew. Book of John, the 13th chapter, verses 36 and 38 for just a moment. John the verse 36. Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, whither goest thou? Jesus answered him, whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. Peter said unto him, Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake. Peter wants to follow Jesus, doesn't he? Now this is what Peter said to Jesus. When Jesus said,
I'm going somewhere and you can't follow me. And Peter said, what do you mean I cannot follow you? Jesus said, you can follow me afterward. You know, he was talking about his death, wasn't he? I'm going back to my Father. You can't go with me. You can't follow me there now. But after a while, later on, you will be able to follow me. I lay down my life for thy sake. That's what Peter said. I'll die for you. If following you into a hostile crowd means death, I will follow you. I will follow you no matter what. Let's look to the book of Matthew. Let's look at chapter 26. And let's begin reading at verse 30. Matthew chapter 26. Let's begin at verse 30. They've already observed the Lord's Supper. And they've heard Jesus say that one of you is going to betray me. And in verse 22, the Bible says that they were all exceeding sorrowful. The disciples. And these were the 12. It says that every one of them, when they heard Jesus say that one of you shall betray me, that every one of them was exceeding sorrowful. And evidently every one of them began to say unto him, Lord, is it I? And then he said, he that dippeth his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me. The Son of Man goeth as it is written to him. Jesus spoke of the incident. Told them what was going to happen. Now in verse 30. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. Now something happened here. And I believe that Peter had in his own mind identified Judas as the betrayer. In verses 20 and 22, the Bible tells us that Jesus had said, one of you will betray me. And that Judas had said in verse 25, Master, is it I? And he said unto him, Thou hast said. Jesus didn't say, no, you're not the one, Judas. I think Peter listened to all that was going on. And he comprehended what was happening. And as he, I think, made up his mind that it was Judas. And whether he did or not, he certainly came to the conclusion that it was not Simon Peter. Some way, somehow, he came to the conclusion, it's not me. Because in verse 33 and 35, verse 33 said, Peter answered and said unto him, Though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Now that doesn't sound like he thinks now that he is the one who will betray Jesus. Every one of them in verse 22 had said, Lord, is it I? But Jesus had explained, He that dippeth his hand with me in the sop or dish is the same shall betray me. Judas said, Is it I? And he said, Thou hast said. Now in verse 33, the very same setting of Scripture, Peter said, Though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Never is a long time, isn't it? I wonder how many of us have said, Lord, we'll never be offended. Lord, we'll never quit going to church. Lord, we'll never turn away from your words, and we'll never quit preaching, and we'll never quit teaching. And there are a lot of men and women right now sitting at home watching television that one time or another, in front of a Baptist church or in a hospital room or at Papa's funeral or somewhere, said, Lord, never. And he said again in verse 35, though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. You know, there's a little clue to what Peter thought in verse 33 when he said, though all men be offended. That's pretty judgmental. Did you know it? Other people are going to do it, but I'm not. Other people will let you look down, Lord, but I won't. A lot of other bad people in the world, Lord. A lot of other people have done a lot of bad things, and I'm sure that Peter had his mind on Judas and the sop and the dipping of the hand, and he was saying, all men, though all men. And after he had made this statement, Jesus said, well, I think it's important that we, you know, he sort of had three steps toward his denial. There was the time when he had little faith and doubted, and there was a time of his overconfidence, and I think there's another step to his failure. And it follows this, you know, Jesus went into the garden to pray, to Gethsemane. And he said to these disciples, sit you here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter, the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. You know, he took them with him to the Mount of Transfiguration, didn't he? Now he's taken Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and he's taken them into the Garden of Gethsemane. And he led them to a place, and he said, watch with me. Then he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep. Now, it's easy to criticize these people for going to sleep. But remember, the hour is very late. There's been a lot of strenuous activity going on. And he found them asleep, and he said unto Peter, what could you not watch with me 1 hour? You know, sometimes we feel kind of silly as a preacher saying, couldn't you just give us 1 hour? Couldn't you just give us 1 hour of your time and your attention a week? Couldn't you just give us an hour to preach the Word of God? Couldn't you just give us an hour to tell you about God and to preach the Word of God? Could you not just give us 1 hour? And we think, well, why ask for an hour? People ought to be willing to give 5 hours or 6 hours or 10 hours to learn about God. But you know, Jesus came and Peter was sleeping, and he said, couldn't you just give me 1 hour? And then he said, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. As we think tonight of Simon Peter, think of him as tired. Yes, more than tired, exhausted. And the thought of someone betraying Jesus in his mind and on his heart. And now coming into the garden and praying with Jesus, going to sleep, and Jesus waking him and said, couldn't you just watch with me for an hour? Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. And he went again the second time and praying, saying, O my Father, this cup may not pass away from me except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. And then he cometh to the disciples and saith unto them, sleep on now and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Sleep on. They just couldn't watch and pray. Jesus made some prophecies about Peter. And we're going to look at those prophecies that he made about Peter this coming Sunday morning, God willing. Read this next week about the life of Peter. This man who has said and has said of himself, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers, he identifies himself. You know, something must happen to this man again. He doesn't just go to sleep in the garden and then fade into obscurity. Something else happens to him. See, I know he gets right with God and stays right with God from then on. Don't we wish such were the truth?